Let's just start out with this. Prayer. Let's do that. Father, we come before you and thank you so much for the opportunity to dive into a subject that is the closest to your heart. It's the very beginning subject of your word, and the very end subject of your word. It is marriage between a husband and a wife. So, Father, I ask that you would just speak through me and anoint my words as your words to your people. And I pray that, Father, as we consume you, not my words, but your words, Lord, let it be true in our lives and let it come out in what we do. In Yeshua's name, amen. So a few minutes before service started, the townspeople were sitting in their pews and talking. Suddenly, Satan appeared in their midst. And for everyone was completely screaming and scared and ran out of the church except for this little elderly gentleman. And this little old man just didn't go anywhere. And so Satan came up completely confused and says, "Don't you know who I am?" And the man says, "Sure, I know exactly who you are." And Satan said, "Aren't you afraid of me?" "Nope, not afraid of you at all." "Don't you realize I can kill you with one word?" asked Satan. "Don't you doubt it for a minute," returned the old man. I know exactly who you are. "Do you know that I could cause you profound, horrifying physical agony for all eternity?" persisted Satan. "Yep," the man replied calmly. "And you're still not afraid of me?" "Nope." More than a little perturbed, Satan asked, "Well, why aren't you afraid of me?" And the man calmly replied, "Because I've been married to your sister for 48 years. One day, Adam sat outside the Garden of Eden shortly after eating the apple and wondered about men and women. So looking up to the heavens, he said, "Excuse me, God, can I ask you just a few questions?" God replied, "Go on, Adam, hurry up, but I still got a world to create and run." So Adam says, "When you created Eve, why did you make her body so curved and unlike..." You can't hear me? Never in my life have anybody ever said that. All right, we're going to move closer. How's that? Cameraman's going to be real mad at me because my face is probably on the whole thing. Can you check that for me? Just pan it back. You know how to do that? Chad, will you help him out real quick? The zoom is on the top. Okay. All right, so he says, can you hear me back there now? All right. He says, "Can I ask you a few questions?" He says, "Hurry up." He says, "Well, why did you create her body so curved and tender, unlike mine?" He says, "I did that, Adam, so that you could love her." He says, "Oh, well then, well, why did you give her long, shiny, beautiful hair?" And God said, "So you could love her." And so Adam, confused, he says, "Well, why did you make her so unintelligent? Why did you make her so stupid?"
What?
Just follow me here. Should I scoot back now? And he says, "Certainly you didn't do that so I could love her." And God replied, "No, Adam, I did that so she could love you." I told you had to follow me on that one. You see, God's in the midst of making us laugh. That's why he created Adam and Eve, I'm convinced. Why everything was perfect when Adam was together. It was when they separated when everything fell apart. And see, one of our biggest problems in marriage is this. And my mom told me this, and she continues to tell me this. Because I will always be her son, and she will always be my mom. Anybody got moms like that, right? It doesn't matter how old you get. You know, you're little Susie or little Jimmy. But the truth of the matter is that we take things too serious. We're so serious in our relationships. Not that we shouldn't be serious. We absolutely should be serious. But we need to understand that God created us not to understand each other. One of the biggest mistakes in Christian marriage counseling is trying to get the man and the husband to be on the same page and to understand each other. Now, this is going to be contrary. Everything I'm going to talk about today is going to be pretty much the backwards of everything you've ever been taught. And let me prove to you why it needs to be backwards of everything you've been taught, because you wouldn't be in here if it was working the way that it goes. Okay? So I'm going to suggest to you that God's ways typically are different than man's ways. Would you agree with me on that? Okay? So, and if you've learned anything yet this weekend that you learned through the Hebraic perspective, a lot of it's different than what you grew up learning, is it not? Okay? So would it be surprising to you that as we learn how to relate to one another as husband and wife, that it might be just a little bit different than what you grew up learning how we're supposed to relate to one another? Would you agree? Okay. So I want you to track with me. Okay, let's talk about something for a second. You know, tithing, giving. We do that so that we can get blessed, right? No. Do you realize that all money is His? It's His. Whatever He gives you is His. So how is it that everyone out there that are in the prosperity movement says you need to give so that God can bless you? As if now that's like you coming up and borrowing one of my drills and you return it and expect me to give you something for it. It's not your drill, okay? In the same way, I want you to understand the concept of marriage. Love is the same way. We have been taught in American society that when you give, you get. Okay? Anybody ever heard of the book, Sex Starts in the Kitchen? Right? That's not a good book, in my opinion. Because that implies that if you do something, you get something. And I'm here to explain to you that it's not the way love works from the scriptural perspective. When you give to your wife, okay, you do not expect anything in back. Do you know why? Because it's already hers. I want this to soak in, okay? Men, I want you to just share something with you right now so you don't get mad at me later. I'm going to be talking to you 90% of the time, okay? On ships, in the sea, who's in charge of the ship? The captain. When he lets the lieutenant captain take the helm and he runs it into the iceberg, whose fault is it on paper when they get home? It is the captain. No matter what happens on that ship, it doesn't matter if it's his fault or not, it is the captain's responsibility. And I know that feeling, being the director of this entire conference. When I walk down the hallway and I take three steps and somebody grabs me and this problem, guess what? It's the captain's responsibility. And I understand that. One thing I want to download to you right now from the very beginning is this concept that you are not equal in role. You are equal in personages and as far as humanity and who you are. But you men are the captain and you are responsible. Whatever happens on your watch, you're not going to believe me, but give me an hour and I promise you, you will believe me at the end. If you don't, then you need to sit back through the class again. You are the captain and anything that happens on your watch is your responsibility. You must believe this. From anything that I'm going to say forward is all dealt on this concept is that the men are the people, are the role that God goes to deal with the marriage, with the family. It's the man. And I'm going to prove it in just a moment. There's always two perspectives, and you hear this in Hebrew thought. There's man's perspective, the way that we see things, and then there is his perspective, the way that he sees things. So we need to keep that. From Yahweh's perspective, marriage was created so that man would always find his way back to the garden. Now, when you see things in Scripture, the reason why, I'm gonna put in your lap for a moment, why, remember we talked about last night about the one man, and then it was split into two, right? When Adam was created, he was created male and female, and the female aspect was taken out of Adam. Yahweh knows everything. He knew that we were going to make the mistake in the garden. He knew that Israel was going to be split into two kingdoms. So he is prophesying it from the very beginning, that woman and man were going to be separate, but they were never intended to be separate from the beginning. They are going to be one. That's the whole concept of marriage, is coming back. So marriage was not created so that you could be fulfilled and happy and secure and procreate and enjoy all the wonderful things that God gave you. I'm just telling you, believe me just for now. I'll prove it as I go through. Marriage was created to bring you back to the garden. It's to bring you back to the oneness that they had in the garden. So your wife and your husband are only there for one purpose. It's because you're not in the garden. Women, you're not in the garden. You are broken and messed up. Men, you are not in the garden. You are broken and you're messed up. And your GPS is your spouse. The problem is men don't listen to women and women don't listen to men. So, do you agree with me? Okay? We don't listen to each other. Number one complaint I get in marriage counseling from women: my husband doesn't listen to me. Okay? We would do well, men, to put duct tape over our mouths and use what God gave us twice of, our ears instead of the one of our mouth. And women, you would do well to put duct tape over your mouth and use the ears that God gave you to listen to your husband, because both of you had tremendous things to say. Because both of you are the missing link of the GPS. You both, it's like having a GPS that has everything in it for the entire United States. It takes three AA batteries, and there's only two in there. Will it work? Your spouse holds the missing link, okay? So just catch that and understand that. The point of, from Yahweh's perspective of marriage is to bring us back to the garden. Why did God, the husband, choose to marry his bride, the redeemed? Why use the analogy to begin with? I mean, why does he even use the analogy? Everything in the Bible is about marriage, is it not? The whole thing is about marriage, bridegroom and a bride. Before you became grafted into Israel and started growing from the nurturing power of the root, were you found or lost? Huh? You were lost. When you surrendered to your husband, spiritually speaking, to Yahweh, to Yeshua, you started the long process of returning. Did you not? When you came to know Yeshua, and think about this. This is a marriage class 101. Yeshua is the bridegroom. We are the bride. When we came to Him, we started the long process of Him as the husband helping us return one another to each other. And ultimately, if we return to Him, what happens to the nations? They return. The nations are the children. Let that soak in for some of you. If you come back to the garden the way that Yahweh created it in the template, which we're going to go through, your children will follow. If you do not return to the garden, your children will not follow. Let that sink in. I've got four girls. What would it be like at the end of my life to know that I minister to millions of people and my four daughters don't follow Yeshua? Have I done my job? Anybody ever heard the term PK kid? Got to return to the garden first. That's where the power is. Pastor's kid. PK. They tend to be all the problem children in the schools. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon is saying this, the wisest man on earth, and at the end of his life, after having everything he could have ever wanted and not needed, in some respect, this is what he said. The conclusion of everything in life is this, fear Yahweh and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So what we want to do is we want to transfer what does that mean into the house, into the marriage chamber, if you will. Now, what is your purpose on this earth? To return to the garden. We just talked about to walk with God, to get to know Yahweh. How do you do that? What is the primary way that you get to know the Father? Who's got a Bible? Hold it up. Is this not the primary way that we get to know the Father? Through His Word, right? And we do that by what? Looking into the Word. Okay? Right? Watch the pattern. He gives us something to look into, right? He tells us all through the Scriptures, look into Me, seek Me, and you will find Me. When I transfer what I'm getting ready to say, and as I begin to go through here, some of you guys and some of you ladies, your light bulbs are going to go on and go, oh my gosh, I just never thought about it this way. Watch. We find the Father and return to Him by looking into His Word. How many of you men believe that your wife, that the Lord has spoken through your wife? Raise your hand. I highly recommend everyone raise your hand. You may not leave this room in the same peace. How many wives believe that God has used your husband and spoken through your husband? Okay? I will suggest that the Father speaks more through your spouse than He does through your Word. You see, He's in the business of relationship. Did He start off with written Word? What did He start off with? Spoken Word. Okay? Spoken Word. So I want you to take this home with you, that the Father will speak through your spouse. Now, I'm going to share with you in a moment of the different ways that He speaks that you're not even having a clue. See, if you had a 9-foot angel over the back of your wife when she's speaking, you'd probably go, okay. And He's going, listen to her. Listen to her. Listen to her. You probably listen. The problem is we don't have spiritual eyes, so we can't see the 9-foot bald angel that's hovering over the ground going, listen to her or die. All right? I'm going to show you how to know when God's speaking through your wife. Because he will use your wife as your co-pilot. So you have the captain that is behind the wheel, responsible for everything in the ship and the direction the ship is going. But if it's not for the radio tower telling him and the radar of what's in the water, what happens to the captain? He runs into things. Husbands, your wife is the radar. You don't believe it, but you know it, but you won't admit it. Your wife is the radar. Okay, our pride keeps us from admitting the obvious sometimes. If sometimes we listen to our wife, we'd have more money. Because we get in all kinds of stuff, right? Problems when we don't listen to our radar crew. Even sometimes our children know more than we do in some areas. So first things first. Who is the giver and who is the receiver? This is critical. This is the first point. I'm going to go over 4 points, if we can get to them, of what on earth is our purpose here in marriage, and how do we transfer these biblical principles into our life so we can bring life back into our marriage? Because how many know that none of this matters if you don't have it at home? This whole weekend means nothing if your marriage is not dynamite. I don't have 5 kids for nothing. Where's my wife? Honey, stand up for a second. This is my beautiful wife that you've been seeing on stage all weekend. Turn sideways so we could see the baby. She's due in a couple of months. We have been taught in Christianity, well, let me just ask a question. Who is the receiver? Normally, in a marriage, who's the giver? The wife. No question about it. They give more. I mean, some of you ladies are going, oh, you're exhausted from all the giving that you give. Because not only do you give your part, you give your husband's part. And mostly in the world today, women are known for being givers. Men are known for being receivers. Okay? That is not the biblical pattern at all. It's completely reversed. What you're going to find out as we go through these four principles, everything that you know and believe in marriage is the opposite of what it should be, and that's why you might be having issues, okay? Is because we have to just admit the obvious. If it's not working, then something what you're doing is not working. It is not your spouse's fault. It's both of your faults. And it's, quite frankly, it's the religious system that we live in that grew us up in this false idea. Because remember, Satan's in business for one thing. To reverse what God did. He's to reverse the principles in the Scripture. To get us going the opposite direction of what Yahweh wants us to go. Because if he gets us going this way and think and convince us that it's the right way, we won't even think to turn around and see the tree of life that's standing right behind us. Okay? In creation, Yahweh gives us the pattern of marriage in the Word, and very few verses, by the way, about men and women. The pattern for how to have a dynamic relationship is in all of the Scriptures, but specifically in creation. How does the moon get its light? From the sun, okay? And who is the sun representative of in the Scriptures? Not S-O-N. The Father, okay? And the moon is the lesser light, is the reflection of, is Yeshua. So Yeshua is the direct reflection of the Father, is he not? That's exactly what he says, okay? So in the pattern that we just saw in creation, the sun's job is to do what? Shine on the moon. Now, when is it darkest on earth? During a full moon. Excuse me. During a new moon. Okay? When the moon is gone, it's the darkest on earth. Now, I'm a hunter, and I love to be out in the outdoors when I had time to be out in the outdoors. Now, I don't have any time to be out in the outdoors. But when I do get a chance, when it's a dark moon, they call it dark moon for something. You know why? Because it's really dark outside. But when the moon is at its brightest, when it's full, you can read your Bible outside. Has anybody ever done that? I mean, it's fascinating how bright it is when you have a full moon, at least where I live. So here's the question that I want to put this in an analogy. If your wife, ma'am, I'm speaking to you for a moment, if your wife is not as bright as you think that she should be, whose fault is it? According to what I just said, in the pattern of creation, whose fault is it? We are trained to point fingers, are we not? From the how many have children? How many times do we have to quit pointing fingers at your sister or your brother or telling on him? Because it's always their fault. You notice that? You know, my 2-year-old came in once. she was actually three at the time, my oldest. And we woke up in the morning, and she was up before we had, and she had chocolate chips all over her mouth. We just made chocolate chips the night before. I mean, it was all over her mouth. Hannah, did you eat chocolate chips this morning? No. No, Daddy. No, Daddy. Okay, let me ask you again. Did you eat chocolate chips this morning? No. No, did not. Sierra did. Yeah. Hannah, can you come with me and put her in the mirror? Let me ask you a question. She's looking at herself in the mirror. Did you have chocolate chips this morning? Maybe. What did she need?
A reflection.
She needed a mirror. It was not until she saw herself that she had the ability to tell the truth and recognize the obvious. Remember what I just said. We're going to come back to that. Okay. So men are supposed to be the light in the home. Women are supposed to be the receivers. If we catch the roles, everything falls into place. The reason why it appears that they are the givers is because they were created to immediately give to be the cheerleaders. Women are the cheerleaders in the home to encourage the men to take the wheel and lead and give. I mean, I don't know about you, but my wife is an amazing cheerleader. Most women that I know of, I mean, you know, us men, we take out the trash. Honey, you see I took out the trash? You notice that? I do the dishes. Did you see that? Because we want what? We want a pat on the back. We want praise. God created us to need cheerleaders. Men don't do anything. If there was no women on this earth, all the trash would be just 8 foot high from here to back my home state. Okay? Because it's women that encourage us to do the right thing. Honey, you know, the door is broke on the bathroom and the guests really don't like to watch people go to the bathroom, you know? The reality is that they are the ones doing the man's job of giving. So they give the man's portion, then their own, as they watch their husbands receive both. And some of you know that this is true. Receiving, I'm going to play on our pride, men, for a moment. Receiving is a feminine attribute. If you are the receiver in your home, that's a feminine attribute. You take that for whatever it's worth. If you want to be macho, don't be a female in this area. Receiving is a feminine attribute. So Satan is trying to reverse the roles. So when a husband comes home and demands this or that and the other, he's really being effeminate. That's what he's doing. Honey, I'm home. You know, is dinner ready on the table? Blah, 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 blah. That is a female attribute. The male attribute comes home and says, honey, what can I give you? What do you need? Can I help you get this, that, and the other so that she can receive? And what happens when a man does that? What does the woman immediately do? Give. Because her job in giving is to encourage the husband to give more. Now, what happens is this. If I got to go somewhere and I really got to be somewhere, but my wife doesn't want me to go, because she's had, you know, maybe she's emotionally having issues because there are four girls. And trust me, we have emotions in our house. We don't even need TV drama. You know, you can't even imagine with four girls the kind of drama. Anybody have four girls or more? Okay, all right. Pray for me. You know what I'm going through. What happens is sometimes, you know, she just is kind of falling apart a little bit and she needs me, but I got to run out the door. Well, what happens if I just say, you know what, I can't give to you right now. And I walk out the door. What happens if I decide to stay? You know what? She needs me for like 30 seconds. All she wants to know is that I care enough to give. And she can't handle me giving. So she instantly gives back and pushes me out the door. Because she knows. She knows I got to be somewhere. She just wants me to give. Anybody relate to this at all? Okay? We just need to be givers. Do your job as the giver. So the first part in Hebraic marriage counseling or marriage 101 is understanding your role, men, is a giver, and the females, their role is a receiver. We are givers. Everything works when we give, because it is the sun that gives light to the moon. If the sun stops giving, it will receive nothing from the moon. The moon has no ability to give the sun its light. The light from the sun comes from Yahweh. He created the sun to do one thing, give light, and it does it brilliantly. No pun intended. And the moon's job is to reflect this light. Get this through our thick skulls. Men, your job is to give. Outgive like you've never given before, and you will get used to it because you will have a cheerleader there the whole time. You want to know why your wife is nagging? I'm going to solve it right now, because you're not giving. You're not giving. She was never created to give like that. She's given your part and her part, and so she literally will turn into someone that you will hate. I'm going to say it the way the facts, the way it is. You will hate your wife because you will create a woman that you did not marry. She did not turn into the woman that you did not marry. You create her. Men, Yahweh created. We are made in His image. We create. We are creative people. I'm going to suggest you are still creating your wives and your children. Okay? Whatever you want your family to look like, you are the only one in the family that have the power to create it. So whatever you are laying in right now, you create it. It's not too late. If I can do it, you can do it. I've been married for 13 years, and I will tell you, the first half was Hades, Sheol and hell all combined. That's really the same word, but very difficult. Anybody relate? I'm just being real honest, man. It was real hard. Real hard. That's because I was trying to do it the religious way. I'm trying to do it, you know, this way and that. Okay, if I do the dishes, she'll be happy. You know? See how the mindset? If I do, I receive. A plus B equals C, because we're Greek-oriented people. Hebrew is just doing because it's my job. Women do change dirty diapers and do the laundry. And men, do you have to tell your wives to do all this stuff? It's in her very nature. Why? Because we've reversed the roles. Does that mean we should be doing laundry? Well, I switched the laundry, actually. It's my part of the job and a role, but it helps her out. Get into the role of giving. Okay, let's move on to another subject. When God created Eve, what did He create her to be? What does the Scripture say that she was? Anybody remember? Help me. Okay, let me throw something on you guys. Might make you laugh. But let's say that again. She is what? The help meet. By default, that means, men, that we need help. Hey, I'm being honest. If that was not the way it was, He wouldn't have called her a help meet. You know what that means? That means that men are deficient in something. Men's biggest problem is we think we can do it all ourselves. And I'm at the top of the list. I have a hard time delegating because, you know, I'm a firstborn and I want it done a certain way. And I know there's people that can relate, and it's all men like to do things ourselves. We've been taught, have we not, that it is a weakness to admit that you have a weakness. Or to admit that you can't do everything. You need to admit the obvious. You were once one, and something came out of you and created a void inside of you, like a puzzle piece. It was a square, perfect square. But when you took that puzzle piece and took one half of it out, it creates a little circle that's missing, and only the wife can feel that you are deficient in something and she has something. And I will tell you, in ancient Hebrew thought, some of you are not going to like this and you're going to call me a heretic for this, but ruach in Hebrew is a male or feminine word. It is a feminine word. And so the ancient Hebrews believed that women actually were higher than the men on a spiritual plane just because of that one, because He could have chose male. He could have chose it. Holy Spirit ruach could have been male. But it was feminine, and so some ancients believe that women are higher on the spiritual plane, and they are closer to the Spirit of God. The whole sensitivity thing just kind of makes a little more sense. That maybe we should listen to our Holy Spirit. I mean that you know what I mean by that. I'm not saying our wives are the Holy Spirit, okay? My wife is, but you guys can make that choice later. We need to listen. Let me ask a question. Whose rib was it? Adam's. So if it came from the man, if the rib came from the man, it is therefore still connected to him. Because when they come back together, they are one. So here's the issue. If there's something wrong with the rib, meaning the woman. So husbands, if you look at your wife and you don't like what you see, you have fallen out of love with your wife, you don't have the ooey gooey, you can't, you know, you're just not connected. You're existing, but you're not connected and there's no life. Then that means that there's something wrong with the rib, right? The woman. Something wrong with the rib. There's some poison in her rib. Where did the rib come from? It came from the man, right? What does Yahweh say happens when you get married? The two become? So whose rib is it? Interesting. If there's poison in your wife, where did it come from? It's your rib. It is the support cage. It is the support for the entire body. What is it connected to? The spinal column, which is the entire support allowing you to walk, run, and sit. What is it protecting? The vital organs that cause you to live. That rib is, that missing rib is the most important rib that you have. If you're healthy, that rib is healthy. I can always look at a marriage 99.9%. Matter of fact, I'll make that statement later so that nobody leaves. 99% of the time when I'm working with somebody or you know, emailing or counseling, I can look at a marriage and I can know exactly the spiritual condition of what's happening in that marriage. Because if I see an angry wife that's bitter or just non-responsive, I know a husband's a receiver. Almost 100% of the time, he's a receiver. Because I've never met a husband that's a giver and a wife that doesn't follow suit and have a positive marriage. Matter of fact, I was at a wedding a couple of years ago, and you know how they do that dance, and however long many years you've been married, you know, you stay on the dance floor, and pretty soon there's only one couple left, you know, how long it is. So they asked the couple, what is the trick to being married so long? And this little old man, I mean, it's hilarious, because I've been to so many weddings where they do this. And he takes the mic and he goes, two words. Yes, dear. I thought, wow, that's profound. That's profound. Yes, dear. He began to understand what this whole thing is all about. So let me ask the question again. If a mom has a baby and it's a crack baby, whose fault is it? Mom's fault. Wait a minute, the baby's the one that is the problem. She's on crack. It's a crack baby. But the baby's connected to the mother. The mother is feeding the child. So whatever the mother does, which is why it's critical when you're pregnant to take enough vitamins and minerals and so on and so forth, because whatever is happening with the mother is going to happen with the baby. Do you just get rid of the baby and find a new one? Gentlemen, your wife is the child, with all due respect, in this analogy. You are the umbilical cord that feeds her. When you were dating, you got that. You understood that. She married you because you were a giver, not because you were rich. Maybe. What if a mom had a bad accident and the baby was born damaged? Do you blame the baby? Do you get rid of the baby? Get a new one? See, sometimes it's caused directly from, you know, the husband that's not doing his job, and so the woman falls apart and she falls out of her role. But sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, our circumstances are the problem. Sometimes the circumstances itch us in such a way that causes damage, okay, into your wife. Maybe it's her parents. Maybe something else that caused damage into her life. Whose job is it to fix it? If you're one, and you come in damaged, well, let's just put it this way, in a good analogy, a car. Husbands, if you go buy a car, and you buy an antique car, and it's 1969 Roadrunner, like my dad had, and let's say it's got an engine in it, but it's not quite working right, but it's an antique, and you love 69 Roadrunners. So you buy it knowing that the engine's not perfect, and it's going to need a little work, right? So then you get it home, and you turn it on and it just doesn't work. I can't believe this thing doesn't work. 5 years I've had this car in my garage and it still doesn't. I'm getting rid of it. I'm just going to sell it. Now, you bought the car knowing that it wasn't perfect. That whose job is it to work on the car? The car or the person that bought it? Okay? You men feel like you're being beat up yet? Good, because I haven't started. No. I don't want you to feel like that. This is instruction, okay? You bought the car. It's our job to make sure that we take care of it. It's just like children. And I'm not relating women to children. It's just as a good example. The father gives us children. It is not the children's job to know not to cross the street without holding my hand or without looking both ways. They need the instruction to do so. You see, the Bible says if you train up your children the way they should go, they will not depart from it. Okay? Men, it is our job to train our house, to train our wife. It is not your wife's job to learn the scriptures and train the house. It is your job as the captain to know every manual and every person that's on your ship and where they're at and what's supposed to be the time they're supposed to be there. If you don't know that manual, your ship's going down, ladies and gentlemen. And if your ship is going down, it's because you don't know the manual. I suggest you find the manual and start reading it. And that's why we're here today. So, we haven't even got into the good stuff. Believe it or not, this is all introduction. So, let's move into some of this stuff. Let's just all admit that we're all broken and we're in need of repair. Every one of us in here. We've fallen short of the glory of God and we need repair. And Yahweh's design for repair is your spouse. That's how He's designed you to get fixed. Believe it or not, that is the primary way that He has designed you to be fixed is through your spouse. By default, if what I said is true, what that means is that your spouse has the missing link to give you everything that you need. It is the missing link. You need to believe that. We are what we eat, aren't we? Okay, we have a class on that. We are what we eat. And would you agree with me that our kids are they mirror of the parents, right? You find crazy kids, you typically find crazy parents. You find a parent that's real laid back, it's not surprising that the kids are just ridiculously laid back. Do you find this fascinating, or is this just me? Okay, and you can literally put the kids in a room, one at a time, 5 minutes each, just find out how they act, put all their parents in a room, and you could probably 70% of them match the kids up with their parents. Wouldn't that be a fascinating project? Parents would be like, wow, prophet. No? You cursed? I heard your kid cuss. I don't know. You can match them up. So if that's true, this is called the two-way mirror concept, what I'm getting ready to tell you now. Absorb this, because what I'm getting ready to say is going to revolutionize some of you, and it will change your marriage like I did mine. A lot of this information, by the way, I did not make up. I'm pulling this from all kinds of different sources. But one of my favorite books is by Rabbi Shalom Arush called The Garden of Peace. And it's the number one book in Israel on marriage. And I recommend it and I don't recommend it. I recommend it from the perspective that the principles are founded are amazing. I don't recommend it in the perspective that there's a lot of mystical stuff in there and a lot of rabbinical stuff that you got to look past. But some of this principle here is his principle and it revolutionized my marriage. So, the wife is the husband's mirror. And she says, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? You come up to the mirror and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? You know what she's going to say? Not you. To most of you men out there, that's the answer. Now, they're not going to tell you that. They'll tell me that. But they won't tell you that. That you're not the fairest. Because they see fair men out there that are givers. I'm just telling you, this is how it all starts. This is how adultery starts. Okay? Is it women that go have affairs? It's because there's a problem at home. Hello, that's just a royal concept. Women don't go finding trouble if they have everything they need at home. Men have affairs because they've created someone in their wife that they don't want. And like a crack baby, they've destroyed the baby. And they want to get a new one. Am I speaking the truth? Okay. Yahweh shows the husband what he needs to correct by way of his wife. You see, the Holy Spirit uses your wife to show you what's wrong with you. Let me prove it to you. You're in an argument with your wife, or you did something wrong. How many men will agree with me that when you do something wrong, your wife is right there to tell you what you did? Isn't it something? It's like they're not even in the same state. You're home with the kids by yourself, they're 400 miles away, and you mess up dinner, and somehow she's right there to tell you. Or you didn't tell, you know, it's like she'll call you. Something went wrong, didn't it? It's like she's the Holy Spirit. I mean, she's like, how did you know? I'm not kidding you. It's absolutely phenomenal. I'm going to be real candid with you because this is a marriage class. I know some of you aren't married in here, but I don't mind telling you my past. I used to be addicted to pornography years ago. 50% of you men in this room are addicted right now, according to statistics. I would be at my office, and I would slip up. My wife would call 5 minutes later. Not just like call to see how I'm doing. Jim, are you okay? I'm sensing something. You see, Yahweh has created in your wife a sensitivity to your character deficiencies. So what I'm getting ready to say right now is going to rub you men the wrong way, but it is the truth because it's the opposite of what you've been told. Your wife is your mirror to show you your character deficiencies. Yahweh took out that part of your compass out of you. You cannot see yourself. You cannot see when you're being rude, ignorant, mean, selfish, and everything else that you know you are. But she has an uncanny ability. Now, we call it whining and complaining and a few other things. Do we not? But the facts are, is when are they wrong? So let me just give you a personal example. Me and my wife, after I learned this concept, and I mean I learned this concept, I mean it really hit me. Holy smokes, if this is true, and my wife is my mirror, and Yahweh is speaking through my wife, then that means whatever she says, that's coming from Yahweh. So we got in an argument one time. It was only once. And it was a pretty big argument. And my wife is the sweetest little woman. I mean, she's just the sweetest thing. You know, she never even said a curse word until she met me, she said. So the truth. She was perfect. She was an angel before she met me. And then I created some horns on her years ago. But we got in this big argument and she called me this bad name. And I said, I was shocked. And then the concept came to my mind. Oh, my mirror. Whoa. And I went in the other room. And I literally did this. I went in the other room. Cheryl didn't know this till I told this story years ago. Yahweh, did you just call me that? I didn't even know you could say words like that. And you know what he said? Is it true? Are you being that? And I said, yes, I am, sir. I am being that. You see, wives tell the truth 100% of the time. 100% of the time. The problem is we don't like to hear it, do we? We don't like to hear it. Sometimes it's the way that they say it, ladies. Who was talking about the king? Rico, this morning, talking about the king. Your husbands are the king, the priest. Do you scream and yell and whine at a king or a priest? No, you don't. See, I can give it to the wives just as much as I can give it to you husbands. The problem is we're the captains. But remember that your husband is the priest of your home. You need to come to him that way with that respect. I promise you, if you come to your husband and say, husband, you know, I love you and you are amazing at so many things. Can I encourage you in this one area that it would really help me out? When you come home, because things are crazy, I'm trying to get dinner on the table, and the kids are doing this or that or whatever, that if you could just help me out for 5 minutes, man, I mean, it would be just amazing. I'll be able to do anything that you need, you know, for the rest of the evening. I'll be able to help you out. Whoa. You want me to give? I can do that. I'll solve whatever problem you have, honey. See, we instantly become like a, you know, Superman at that point. But see, women don't know how to stroke their husbands to become Superman because they don't come to us as the king and the priest. You come and make me feel like a king, I will be your king. I will solve your problem. I just got to feel like a king. Let me say something. If your wife is your mirror, it is never on a one-to-one ratio. In other words, whatever you did wrong, whatever you said, whatever's bothering her is bothering him. That's why she's speaking it. Now, it may not be coming out in a holy manner, but it's truth. And truth is truth. So when she's speaking, you need to understand this concept. It's coming from Yahweh, but it's not on a one-to-one ratio. What that means is that the way that she's responding, how many believe that your wife overreacts? I got both my hands up. Okay? It's not a bad thing to admit it. Wives are created to overreact. Can I get an amen, gentlemen? Amen. Let's do it again. I like that. Do our wives overreact? Okay, now, we've been taught that's a bad thing. So we transfer that onto your wife, that it's a bad thing. So we tell them, you're overreacting, right? You're too sensitive, emotional, right? No, let me explain something to you. Because she's transferring the heart of the Father, when we sin, what does he feel like? He's trying to get across to us the gravity of what we just did is not a small thing. When you snap at your wife, when you receive and you don't give and you come home and you become, it's all about you. He's trying to let you know you're a jerk. And I can't have this in my kingdom because if you continue to act this way, you will destroy the nations, your children, and I have no plan B. Plan A is the husband and the husband only to give and let the wife receive. She gives back. Everyone's happy. The kids learn the way. The truth and the life, and the nations want to know, man, their marriage is amazing. What are they doing right? You see, as a teacher and as a leader in Israel, what I don't want to see is I don't want to take this thing all across the nation and mainstream Christians start to come in here and they go, man, you know, the information's amazing, but why are they getting a divorce? It doesn't work. This is just knowledge. This is just trivia questions. Who knows the most? If this is not the truth, I don't want to mess around with it. If it doesn't have results, then I'm quitting. My God gives results, ladies and gentlemen, if you have the truth. Can I get an amen to that? We just need the truth. If we'll just do the truth, Shema, hear and obey. Our problem is we're good hearers of the word, but we're not good doers of the word. It's time to do. Gentlemen, your wife is your mirror. I cannot overestimate that, even exaggerate it. Your wife is the talking, she is the speaker system. What you hear is what you need to hear. If you will look at your wife and you look into her eyes and you literally are looking into the eyes of Yahweh, that will change everything. I'm telling you. When I learned this, I'm like, man, I got to get in an argument and try this. I did. I promise you. I said, there's no way. I got to pick a fight. I got to pick a fight. I didn't do that. But I was thinking in my mind, I can't wait to have my first argument so that I can try this out and see if this really works. It doesn't take Jim Staley real long to find an argument. And it didn't take me very long to have an argument. And I'm telling you, this one concept, if you don't get anything else, it will revolutionize your marriage. Because when your wife starts talking to you, regardless of how she's talking to you, and you look at it as not her, but the voice of him, you will pay attention. Because when your king starts yelling at you, you better get on your knees, guys. And you know it. And ladies, we'd all be the same way. If Yeshua walked in that door and he was upset with me, I can tell you my head would be bowed before that and I would take it. When you're in the army, how many, any military people in here? God bless you. Give them a round of applause for those that are in the military. Did you go through boot camp? Yeah. Unfortunately. So when you're standing in line and that sergeant comes up and he's kissing you with his lips, except they're moving a mile an hour, he's spitting in your face, yelling at you. Did you just hit him? Yeah. Did you just, push him back? Did you tell him he's being rude? That he's nagging? Go back and do what you do best? No. You took it. Why? Because there was a role of authority that you understood, was it not? There's a role of authority. He understood there was power behind that voice. It was not the sergeant's voice. It was the voice of the United States military, which has the commander-in-chief behind him speaking through that sergeant into his life. Great. That's the concept I want you to see. And I'm pounding this into you because if you get this, you literally will need almost nothing else. It's so revolutionary. To understand that your wife is the speaker system of Yahweh, that when she speaks, you better listen. All that being said, ladies, does that not make you feel a little nervous? It better, because this puts gravity on you. This puts weight of who you're speaking for. That when you speak to your husband, if you are the speaker system for Yahweh, the creator of the universe, you better be very careful what you say. Because your husband is listening to you. So if he's going to play his role and he's going to give first and he is going to receive instruction from the wife, how many believe that your wife knows every single weakness that you have and can name them right now in about 6 seconds? Okay? Well, my wife couldn't name them in 6 seconds because there's too many. But maybe a couple days, she could probably tell you. They know our hot buttons too, don't they? This guy sat in the front row for a reason. Do you think that it's a coincidence that your wife knows every weakness and your hot button? Because Yahweh does. Who do you think told her? She naturally knows it. That's why you fit together so well. Listen to her because she knows your weaknesses. She does not want you to make a fool out of yourself. When you walk out of the house and you got your hat on backwards, and we have a mirror in front of our foyer before you walk out of the house, and you look in the mirror and your hat is off or your tie is not done or whatever, do you go up to the mirror and go, huh, okay, there we go, perfect. Think about this. We don't ever treat mirrors like that. You don't look in the mirror when you wake up and you comb your hair and go, man, that mirror is really messed up. So you get out a marker and you start drawing on the mirror, you know, fixing your hair. No, it's not the mirror's fault. The mirror is doing its job. The mirror is only reflecting what is in front of it. If your wife is your mirror, she is reflecting the only thing that's in front of it. What are you? The sun or the moon? Gentlemen, you're the sun. The moon reflects what's coming towards it. The mirror is reflecting what's in front of it. So depending on how ugly you are, depends on what that mirror looks like. Have any of you ever amazingly seen somebody out to dinner or whatever, know somebody, and the husband, sometimes I see this and I probably shouldn't notice this, but I think everybody does, and you go, man, me and my wife have even done this. Those two don't go together. Can you be honest? That woman is very beautiful, and that guy is the biggest nerd I've ever seen in my life. How does that go together? I'm going to tell you why all the beautiful women end up with ugly guys. Is because the ugly guys are givers. And I mean this respectfully. I'm just being honest. They're givers. The good-looking jocks in high school, what are they? They're not quarterbacks, they're receivers. They're not givers. All the jocks are bowing their heads. No quarterbacks in here, right? Don't raise your hand. I'm just telling you what I see. Of all the people that I get to see, it is the beautiful people that have the problems. It is the beautiful men, if you will, that have the issues of pride and that are receivers. It is the non-beautiful, which is why Yeshua chooses the foolish things of the world. Because those are the greatest on earth are those that are the weakest, or the meek, if you will. Are you getting this concept? Is this good? Are you learning anything? Should we stop now? Okay, because we're getting ready to turn the heat up a little bit. You know the definition of purgatory? It's when a husband believes that all of the wife's issues were caused on her own and thus should be corrected by her alone. All the while he is criticizing her and telling her that she needs to stop nagging, yelling, or acting this way or the other. That is purgatory in a home. Let me read that again. Purgatory is when a husband believes that all of the wife's issues are caused by herself. It's her problems. If she just fix her problems, everything will be okay. You never get out of hell if you have that belief system, gentlemen. Because it doesn't work that way. You shine the light, your wife receives. Whatever you see is what you're looking at in the mirror. You are what your wife is. So as you change spiritually, guess what happens? What's amazing when I start, you know, became a teacher and I started digging in the scriptures, I couldn't believe it. My wife started reading the scriptures. Did I have to tell her? No. The only thing I have to tell her is, honey, can we go to bed? Matter of fact, funny story, you know, we sit up in bed a lot and we'll read and study, and I don't like doing it. I don't like doing it. I go down to my office and study because I come up and the second she's up reading her Bible and studying and stuff, the second I walk in the room and say, okay, well, you know, we'll do it together, I can't get anything done because she just asks question after question about the question about the Bible. And I remember one time, I'm like, honey, can you please study on yourself? You know, study yourself and let me study. I can't get anything done. What a great problem to have. My wife is consumed with the Word of God. Why is she consumed with the Word of God? Because I'm consumed with the Word of God. I can't get enough of it, so she can't get enough of it. She just doesn't have as much time as I do because she's got 4 kids that are constantly feeding. Physically. So husband's purgatory is just that. It is literally saying that your wife has all the issues and then we continue to criticize her. Let me ask you this. Husbands, by a raise of hands, how many enjoy being criticized? Oh, come on. This is our problem. No hands are up. What is the definition of criticism? What's a root word? Critique. For purpose of what? Improvement. See, we've been trained that it's negative. We've been trained. Now, I was a little trick because criticism is negative. But the root word is critique. We need to enjoy. My wife thinks I'm really weird because I am really one of. And she says, Jim, you're the only person I know that absolutely loves criticism. Why? It's not because I'm a good guy. It's because I'm a firstborn perfectionist. And perfectionists want to be perfect all the time. It's a curse. And the only way to be perfect is get feedback. So I can change, get better. The next conference, what do we need to do differently? Okay? If I don't get critique and criticism, if I don't have somebody come up and say, this was the worst thing I've ever seen right here, I go, thank you. You are awesome. Because that means 150 other people are thinking the same thing. Thank you for insulting me. And then they go away thinking, he is really off his rocker. Did he hear anything that I just said? Who takes criticism better, generally? Women or men? Got 2 answers there. Okay, let's just make it real, okay? Honey, how does my hair look? On the other hand, women can talk to their husband, say, husband, you're doing this. Now, we don't like it, but see, my wife can tell me that, you know, somebody can tell me that guys can tell guys anything and it don't even hurt our feelings. Sometimes, I better not do that either. Some of us men are so thick-skinned, we're like elephants. I mean, you could throw darts at us and it doesn't even hurt us. Yet you attempt to throw a dart at your wife and she's already hurt before it's out of your hand. Would you agree with me? Okay. So women are more sensitive. Let me give you a principle in Scripture. It's straight from Yahweh. Out of creation. Creation cries out the answers, just like I said. So, if generally speaking, which is I would think most of us would agree, almost 100% of women are more sensitive to men than men. Would you agree? Almost 100%. If that's true, and when we criticize our wife, they instantly get their feelings hurt. They may not tell you. And you may think, by the way, you may think that your wife is does not get her feelings hurt and she's callous, it's because her feelings have been hurt so many times that it's her sensitivity buttons are completely seared. Okay? But there was a time when she was a girl, when you first met her, that she was very sensitive. So by default, Yahweh's trying to tell us something, men. That females have no DNA to accept criticism. Zero. Men, on the other hand, can be verbally beat up and it rarely affects us. Okay, I'm a jerk. So your wife can say 100 negative things to you in an argument. Now, you know this is true. I've been here, done this. I mean, literally. They just assault you. Boom, boom. You can't even get a word in. And you're like, ah, you can't, because they're already on top of you. And you're, not my wife, but all your wives do that. And they're just all over you. And you're like, she can't even let you get a breath out. Finally, her face turns red, she passes out, and you get to speak. Unlucky for you, she wakes up just at about the time when you say, you're this. Once. 150 sentences came out in one breath from your wife. And it didn't even faze you because you already got your bazooka going. One dart came out from you and hit her right between the eyes, and all it was just a little bitty negative. And guess what? I want a divorce. I hate you. You hurt my feelings. Ah! She's gone. She's laying on the floor crying, sobbing. I can't believe you called me fat. Or whatever. You know I'm telling the truth. She can rip you one up, down, side, the other into one negative thing that comes out of your mouth and you're on the back porch for a week, don't matter what time of year. That's why I got a nice, comfortable back porch. Got a bed and everything already there. People say, why do you got a bed on your deck? You don't even understand. I'm a smart guy. I got myself a little fire pit right there just in case it's wintertime. Men, women have no DNA for criticism. So take the hint in creation. You can't give it. They have no way to receive it. Yahweh did not create any way for man to, women to receive criticism. Okay, I need a volunteer. Guy, you don't want to be a volunteer. I need a guy. Okay, come on up. Cheryl, do you have that? Yes. Can you put this on him for a second? Oh, we got a football player here. That may be tough. We need a Velcro one. All right. Can we do a wide zoom here? Okay. Now, we got Ramon?
Yes.
Okay, we got Ramon Barrera here. Here we go. Now, Ramon, I want you to catch this bottle of water for me, okay? Wait a minute. You didn't catch it. All right, let's try it again. All right, okay, on the count of three. One, two, three. All right, Ramon, I really thought you could catch. I mean, it's just a bottle of water, okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. Okay, now, can I have a lady? Okay, all right, no. You're good. We're good.
Throw her at me.
Okay, now, you... That's a great idea. See what I'm talking about? Criticism. That's my next class. I'm going to do that. All right. All right, now take it off. Give Ramon a hand. Hold on. He was our female. Okay, so isn't he beautiful? See, God gave the women the beautiful physique so we could love her. All right. So he was playing the role of the wife. Did he catch the bottle at any time?
No.
See, he has no ability to receive what I was giving him. None. No ability. But see, men have the ability to receive the instruction and the criticism every single time. Matter of fact, I can go over here like this, you see? I can go over here like this and when he's not even looking. Did he just ruin my whole video? All right, for the cut. See, I can go over here. He's not even looking. I can throw it to him, and he'll catch it every single time. Thank you. Give him a hand. Men have the ability to receive criticism. We don't like to admit it, but it's a fact, and it's true. So men, get the clue, don't criticize your wife. Because back to our mirror analogy, what criticism is taking a hammer and breaking the mirror. Every time. Do you know how difficult it is? Matter of fact, it amazes me how Yahweh can put a wife back together after we break her so many times. How she can come back time after time after time. I can promise you, Yahweh can pick up the pieces only so many times. And at some point, the mirror's broke. The mirror's broke. And it's very difficult. So I highly recommend, gentlemen, recognize that your wife, that you are a giver, your wife is a mirror, and that she has no ability to accept and instruct and criticism. So here's how it works. You are supposed to receive criticism. Why? Because creation cries out that you have the DNA to receive it. Grow up and get over it. So when your wife speaks to you, she's who? It's the voice of Yahweh. So when the Yahweh speaks to you through your wife, that means that you need to hear it and that you have the ability to receive it. So take it. Okay? That's the only time you're the receiver is when she speaks. You're the receiver. Outside of that, when she's not speaking, you're the giver. Her entire source of happiness is dependent on how her husband treats her. 100% of her happiness. Husbands, you're not. That's not the way we're made. Our entire source of happiness, unfortunately, ladies, he did not come from the wife. But 100% of her happiness comes from how we treat her. A woman wants to be perfect in her husband's eyes. His positive comments are her happiness, comfort, and security. Can I get an amen, ladies? Amen. That's the truth. Let me say that again. Your positive comments, gentlemen, are her entire source of living. God created her to be what? A helpmeet. So what happens when she helps you and you give positive comments? It fulfills her destiny. Did you hear what I just said? If you give her negative comments, you destroy the reason why she was created. She's created to be a helpmeet, and she's fine with that. The whole women's movement is designed because men would not give. So they figured, well, if they're getting their happiness out of the home, maybe that's how you get happiness. But if men give the way they're created to give, and they receive the instructions, and men give the positive feedback and positive comments and encouragement, then what happens? You create a home. You create oneness. You create literally the garden for the tree of life. The fruit comes out, and your children eat it. Your grandchildren eat it. Your neighbors see it, and they come running. I'm telling you, you can notice. Haven't you ever been around somebody that's in love? For the wives, it makes them sick to see it. And for the husbands, they don't even want to be in the same room because they're convicted and they feel guilty. Everybody wants to be in love. And we have been educated and trained and brainwashed that you can only be in love for 12 months when you first get married. And for some of you, that's even too long. I'm telling you that you can be in love after 13 years. I'm in love with my wife. I drive her crazy sometimes. In a good way. I can't keep my hands off her. Not because she's so beautiful. It's because we have a connection unlike anybody that I know. How many of your wives can call you up when you're in sin? Within 5 minutes. Every time. Maybe not every time. I don't want to make you feel like a god back there. But she is wonderful, but we are highly connected. I confess everything to my wife. You know why? Because I understand my wife's the Holy Spirit. Some of you, I'm going to get emails on that. I don't mean literally she's the Holy Spirit, but I take the whole concept seriously that Yahweh speaks through my wife. And it says that when you sin, when it's related to your wife, guess what? You sinned against her, whether she knows it or not. You sinned against your wife when you looked at another woman. You sinned against her and you broke the spiritual umbilical cord that's between you. And you will not be connected until you completely confess that. You will not be connected with your wife until you ask forgiveness for hurting her, even though she doesn't even know it. I'm overwhelmed that pastors will sit there in marriage counseling and tell husbands, you know what, listen, that's in the past. We don't need to bring that up. We need to go forward from here on, because if you tell her these things, it's going to hurt her. Heck yeah, it's going to hurt her. You already did and you don't know it. You destroyed her in the spiritual realm. Yahweh is not going to bless your marriage and give you the connection that you need because you broke it. You broke it. You need to go and confess and repent to your wife, and you need to tell her every darn thing that you did. Why? Why do I get passionate about this? Because Yahweh created us to be one, not two equal coexisting people. One, and the only way to be one is if you completely confess your sins, therefore, to one another. And what's the rest of the verse? So that times of refreshing may come, ladies and gentlemen. You confess to your wife, it will destroy her, and then she will respect you more than any man alive. And that's when life begins. You humble yourself before your God, and what happens? He lifts you up. You humble yourself before the one that He chose to speak through, and what will she do? She will lift you up. I promise you. Trust me. Try me. Ladies, am I telling the truth? Believe it. The enemy has got you deceived to keep everything to yourself. You confess to your wife and she will build you up. She will keep you accountable. She might be mad, but her anger only lasts for a moment. How amazingly similar, that's what the Father says. This is why pornography destroys a marriage. Because it says to the wife in the most harshest of tones, you're not perfect in my eyes. I need more than what you can give. I don't want you. Her honor has been breached. She lives to be loved by your husband. And when you look upon another woman, what you have done is you have said to Yahweh that what you gave me is not good enough. And you don't even know that what He gave you was yourself. It was the other side of you. It was the piece that's missing. If you don't like the piece, you hate yourself. That's what... Do you know why Yahweh says, I hate divorce? Because it cries out. It's as if His creation cries out, I hate myself. And He created you. To hate yourself is to say that He doesn't know what He's doing. And the very instrument that He used to bring life to this world was a man and a woman. Two sticks, one tree, under a tree. Isn't that interesting? It's one tree. If you don't like your spouse, it's because you don't like yourself. And you don't even know it because the enemy has convinced you that your wife is the problem. She is the mirror. Remember that. Get your eyes off of anything else. I can promise you this because I've been here. And if I could be candid without getting emotional, there was a time I hated my wife. There was a time my wife hated me. And we both spoke that. And some of you know exactly what I'm saying. Well, you've used those words. I never thought I could be attracted to my wife. Amazingly, my wife is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. But see, when you turn your eyes in a different direction, the enemy blinds you to the most brilliant diamond standing right in front of you for a piece of coal, piece of rock, piece of iron. Cannot replace a diamond. And what happens when you start doing this? Now, I started this principle, and I started giving. I started recognizing my wife is a mirror. And then I cannot say negative comments. Even if she does something wrong, I will not negatively tell her. Matter of fact, I'll prove it to you. Yahweh did this. When they were in the garden, and Adam and Eve sinned, who was the first person Yahweh asked for? Adam, where are you? Why not Eve? was as if he didn't know. Who's the captain of the ship, ladies and gentlemen? What if it had been adultery? Adam, where are you? Husbands, where are you? When she took of the fruit, did Yahweh come down immediately and criticize her? No. You ever notice that? Do you think that he does things for a reason? Gentlemen, your wife makes a mistake. Yahweh himself gives us time to repent. Why can't we give our wives a little bit of time? Maybe a day or two. And then come to them and say, you know, honey, a couple of days ago when you did this with the kids or whatever, or you said this to that person, I think maybe that might not be the right way to handle that. And guess what? She's going to receive that. You come to her right off the bat. Highly recommend it when they make dinner. Don't tell them that it's not a good dinner. Maybe a couple nights later, hey, that steak we had there, that was really good, but I'd prefer it if I could actually chew it. It would be really nice. I mean, I know you think I'm good with a chainsaw, but I really don't want to use it in dinner time, you know. What's funny is when I first got married, my wife could not cook. I'm just going to be honest. I was dying. I love to eat. And if I had macaroni one more time, you know, every way you could make macaroni. I'm kidding. But she couldn't cook. It's just the way it was. My wife is known for her cooking today. I mean, it's the best cook in the world. I'm going to tell you why. But she's literally, people come over to our house like, oh my goodness. That's incredible. I've never had anything like it. She's a gourmet cook. Do you know why? Because of this. The first time she made a meal. Honey, this is unbelievable. I can't believe how good this meal is. What am I doing? Lying? Who said that? I am giving her positive comments. What was she created to be? Men. Okay, we're starting over from the beginning. The helpmeet. Let's do it again. Who was she created to be? The helpmeet. Okay? What'd you say? Did you just say giver? Okay, you can beat him later. That's why you made him sit in the front row, right? Women were created to be the helpmeet. So when you encourage them, they fulfill their destiny. And all they want to do is give back. My wife knows that I love to eat. So you know what she wants to do? Fulfill me. That's all she wants to do. And all it takes is a little bit of encouragement. All it takes is giving to her. And she gives back more than... I'm telling you, you have a well sitting next to you so deep you can't even imagine. You just don't know how to dig for it. You don't even know the water is underneath the sand, ready to come through like a geyser, giving you... It's a flood you with everything you've ever wanted. But you refuse to get your hands in the sand because somebody told you that's not your job. It's her job to dig from underneath. When was the last time you saw a foundation being built from under the ground up? You dig from the ground under. You overturn the earth and you set the foundation. It's your job to set the foundation. I promise you she'll decorate the house. Every time. Never seen a woman yet. Put them into a brand new house. They're already working. Do this, measure this, paint this. Honey, need you to paint this, paint this, paint. Okay, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear. You'll be the happiest man alive. And your house will be in order, and you'll be fulfilled. And men, you'll think every other woman is the most disgusting, ugly woman on planet Earth. And you can't even imagine, even when you find a woman that's physically beautiful, you can't even imagine going after that. Because you're so swimming in life. And so satisfied with the water of life and the living water that God has given you, you will never give it up for anything else. It will be the most precious thing that you ever have. Guys, it's embarrassing to say that I was so messed up. I can't even imagine going back. I'm so far removed from where I was. And did it take time? Yes. And there's ways to get out of addictions. But the best way is Yahweh's way. You just do it. We don't need any accountability partners. Hogwash. I'll get emails on that too. I didn't need it. I used accountability partners. It never works. I tried this computer program, that computer program. You know what I needed to do? Honor the covenant I made with Yahweh. And love my wife. And when you love your wife and you keep your covenant, you get so attracted to your wife, you don't want anything else. It's like coming in after being in the desert for you know, 2 weeks straight and not having water and someone offering you like chocolate milk and a bottle of water. Which one are you going to grab every single time? You've been working out in the garden, working out in the sun. You come in, what do you want? You want water. Your wife is your well. You just don't know it. You make that well, you dig and give. And that well, when it starts, it will revolutionize. And you know what happens to the sand when you start putting water on it? Amazingly, something comes up. Life. You keep letting that water come up and you'll have a jungle before long. And it turns into, shall I say, the Garden of Eden. Let's finish up. Spiritual bliss begins when Yahweh begins to feel first place in your life. That's spiritual bliss. When Yahweh becomes first place and His commandments and His ways become first place. And you do your best to try. You see, Yahweh doesn't want us to be perfect. That's not what He's after. He knows it's not possible. In the same way, your wives do understand that you're not perfect. Trust me. What they want is you to try. And let me give you a perfect example. In my house, I got a big king-size bed about this high off the ground. My little ones need like a ladder to get on it, you know. It's got all these pillows on it. Anybody got a bed like that with all the pillows and everything? I'll never forget when my daughter, five, my Sierra, right there. Look at that, prophecy in the making. She just stuck her head in it. How do you do that? Sierra walks in the door, and she's a giver. She loves to please. She has a help meet all the way through. So she comes in and she's making our bed for a surprise, right? Which is impossible for a five-year-old to do. I mean, she's eight now, but you just can't do it. I mean, there's so many pillows and they have to do it a certain way. So Daddy, come here. And she gets, I'm like not even noticing anything. I mean, it's that bad still. You know, the bed doesn't look made to me at all. Finally, she points out, Daddy, look, I made the bed. Then dawned on me what she's trying to do. So what happens to me? I become a basket case. And I get on my knees, and I have tears streaming down my face because my five-year-old is trying to please me. Now, did I go, you are such an idiot. This bed is not done right. The pillows are in the wrong place. You didn't put the colors. I mean, there's wrinkles in the bed. It's criticism. Did Yahweh give her any ability to criticize? Now, you know, as a five-year-old, if a daddy would have done that, what would have happened to her? I would have destroyed that child. And forever, would she have ever done it again? No. Done. Shut off. The valve is shut. No water. Some of you fathers have done that to your children, but more importantly, most of you husbands have done that to your wives. You will shut them down like that. They will have no physical, emotional, or spiritual response. But because I chose to encourage her, because of what? She tried. She tried. What does the Father want us to do? Just try. That's all He wants. He's not looking for a perfect this or a perfect that. He just wants you to try. Lastly, here's some common mistakes that men make. We've got a lot more to get to, but we're not going to. I'm 9 minutes over. Demanding to be right. A wise man once said, it's better to be wise than right. Let your wife be right. It's okay. You know why? Because Yahweh did not create them with the ability to admit that they're wrong. Can I say that again? He did not create your wife with the ability to admit that they're wrong. They can't do it. So quit trying. It's not going to happen. You know what that means? It doesn't matter. Right or wrong, an old man once told me, she's always right. If she's always right, you're right. No, he said, if she's always right, it'll be all right. Just let her be right. Yahweh will tell her. There's a whole other line when we get to heaven. Of all the things that we do, you were wrong about this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. No, it's not about wrong. It's not about right. It's about being right with one another. Amen? Did Adam have everything he needed in the garden? He found all source of blessing, contentment, and life in the garden, did he not? Did he have to go outside of the garden to find any life? It was, what was outside of the Garden of Eden? Death. Okay? Life was found in the garden. It was the tree of life and his wife were the only two things. Get that. The tree of life and his wife is what brought life into his life. Say that 10 times. That means you only need two things for all fulfillment and happiness. The tree of life, which is the Torah, the Word of God, the Scriptures, and your wife.
Yes, sir.
One is water, one is a tree that brings fruit for you to eat. Wife, maker fulfilled, water comes out, water is the tree of life, there is fruit for the nations. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to have the privilege to speak to these people today, these husbands, these wives, these fathers and these mothers, and these young people. Father, I pray that you would give them and download to them, let it connect with them the issues and the principles that we talked about today. Father, I pray that you would remind the wives that their husband is the priest and king of their home, that they are to be respectful and honor him as they would honor Yeshua. And they are to speak kindly and gentle to their wives. In the same way, Father, I pray that a husband's, and that's really her only job, that husbands would recognize they are the captain of their ship, that everything that does and can go wrong will be because of how they direct that ship. It can go right if they direct it right. It will go left if they direct it left. Father, I pray they would learn they were givers of to their wives, that their wife is the spokesperson, that your spokesperson and their mirror. That they are not to criticize because their wives have no DNA to accept it. And Father, that you would bless them for trying these principles out. And Father, I would get flooded with emails and phone calls of completely restored and amazing turnaround of marriages. Father, I pray a blessing over everyone in here. And I ask that you would just resurrect life into some of these marriages. In Yeshua's name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.